Bibles tonight, we're going to be, first of all, we're going to be all over the place. Amen? But if there's ever been a time that you need to turn your Bibles or your iPad or your iPhone, whatever your electronic device, whatever it might be, to follow these scriptures that I'm going to be giving, and there are many tonight. So you can begin by turning in the Bible to Romans chapter 14, and I'll be there in just one moment. So tonight we're going to talk about here are the rules about what we're about to do. Here are the rules, and there is only one rule, okay? Now, 1 year has passed. March 13th, you know what happened on March 13th of last year. We're so close to the one-year date, it's unbelievable. And how the governor, what did he closed down the entire state of Texas and so forth. Then on Sunday, March 15th, I walked into the pulpit, and for the first time in my ministry, in my entire life of teaching or whenever, I have never preached to an empty chapel. Do you understand? It was an overwhelming experience. It was something, an emotion that I had never had ever in my entire life. You know, later on, so as the months went by, I finally started lining up dummies on the front row. That way I preached to them because, you know, I just look into the camera. I know you're out there, but it was very lonely in here. But I knew the Lord was with me. Amen? Now, with all that being said, all of us a year ago, this month, we all found ourselves in a global pandemic which has taken the lives of now over 500,000 Americans. We were told to shelter in place. We were told to practice social distancing. We were told to wear masks and so forth, wash our hands and all the rest of it. And now today, here we are. It's March the 10th, and Governor Abbott has now given us a new mandate saying that the entire state of Texas can open up and face masks or masks are no longer required if you don't want to wear them and so forth. So, of course, you know, I know that you're aware tonight that just because the governor's mandate, that doesn't stop or hinder or eliminate the COVID virus, does it? No, that's insanity to even think like that. So you are here tonight. If you heard the announcement, of course, I was away this weekend teaching at Calvary Chapel Houston, had a wonderful move of God, a wonderful time, just a great, great time. I love the pastors that I was with, and just it was a great time together. So you know that you're here tonight, I hope, and you've tuned in online to find out what Calvary Chapel, this fellowship here, is going to do with the governor's decision or the mandate that he's delivered about, well, you don't have to wear masks anymore and so forth. You know, before I move into Romans 14, I want to be transparent about a few things because as I talked to the board earlier today, may I tell you that it's been a long year. It's been a long year for you, and it certainly has been a long year for me. None of us, this was all new, trying to figure out what to do and what not to do with the advice and the scientists or whatever it was. Every day it was changing, you remember? And it's still every day it is changing. But you know, I'm grieved over some of the attitudes. Now, let me back this up. I am grieved over the attitudes of the minorities population of this church, not the majority. The majority of Calvary Chapel, I am so proud of you because you've stayed the course. You wanted to come back. You wear those masks whether you like it or not. And I tell you, I'm proud of you. And you know what? May I say tonight, and I say it in love, there's no bitterness in my heart, but some people in the church, not just Calvary, they need to get off of Facebook and start walking in faithfulness. Do you understand? Because that's what's required. And so I see the church through this whole year start turning away from the immutable, unchangeable, a perfect truth, divine truth, unchangeable truth of God's word. And that grieves me. Now, with all of that being said, I am going to take certain liberties tonight with these scriptures, but not liberties to take them out of context. I'm just making a change. For example, beginning at chapter 14 of verse 1, I'm not going to talk to you about diet or restrictions, what you can eat, what you cannot eat, even though that's what Paul was talking about. However, it is a perfect word, a perfect scripture for us tonight. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14 of Romans. It's a command, by the way. Receive one or welcome one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. What is Paul saying? He says, don't argue. Stop disputing. Stop arguing. And he says, over doubtful things. Now listen very carefully. Paul the apostle is not speaking about foundational truths. He's not speaking about the virgin birth or the deity of Christ or the substitutionary atonement of Christ for our sins or the resurrection or the visible bodily personal return of Jesus Christ at the second coming. And he's certainly not talking about the authority of Scripture and so forth. Those things are non-negotiable, amen? So what is a disputable matter? A disputable matter is something that is not clear in God's word. In other words, there's not a clear guideline. And we know these. If you've been a part of any church, in other words, you might have been a part of a church where it would say, you're not to wear makeup, remember? Okay, you know, or you don't you dare wear a pantsuit. Remember those old days? Now look at us. We don't care what we wear. Some of you should. No. Oh, listen. No. You know, or in other words, a disputable matter where there's not a guideline. Is it a sin to work on Sunday? Well, the early church worked on Sunday. Are you following me? Yeah, so we got to get our thinking right. So if we could bring this up today. How about mask? Or I'm not wearing a mask. Or you're not going to force me to do this or not to do this. In other words, arguing about things. Now, I want you to go to Romans 14:7. Follow me, please. For none of us lives to himself. No one dies to himself. Whether you wear a mask or you don't wear a mask, okay? It says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, thank God, we are the Lord's. Amen? For to this end, Christ died, rose, lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Here it comes. But why do you, and here we're going to add, but it's legal to do so. Why do you who wear masks or don't wear masks, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you, whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask, show contempt or look down on your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So how many of us will give an account unto God? Each of us. Listen. You know, there has been so much division over this in this epidemic, so much arguing, so much disputing, tearing each other apart on Facebook, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. I'm a Christian, amen? Oh, listen, we should be more concerned about standing in the presence of God at the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ than judging one another. People, I have received this year, if I had printed out all the emails that I got from radio listeners or people that tune in online across America and the world and from our own congregation, I could stack them up as high as this pulpit, and they were all concerned with, well, you don't have enough faith, that's why you're wearing a mask. Or your congregation is just weak and following, you know, the government. And I'm going, oh, my God. Or you get the ones, I'm not getting that vaccine. We know that it changes your DNA. Some people's DNA needs to be changed, okay? No, listen. No, I'm not getting the vaccine. It's the mark of the beast. You don't know your Bible. They don't know their Bible. Are you with me? Oh, listen, it's going to change your DNA. You know, and are you going to judge that? And vice versa. What about those? Did you know that those who are against wearing masks and those who are for wearing masks in this critical time in the body of Christ, Did you know that we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our actions from our heart and our attitudes, and that no one, not one person who is a believer is exempt from the Bema seat of Christ, that judgment of Christ? And we, all of us, and especially you, church, listen to me, you that are listening live, those who belong to Calvary Chapel, you will now, beginning today, in that day, you will stand before the Lord to give an account of what you're going to do today. Look at verse 22 of chapter 14. Do you have faith? I don't need to wear a mask. I don't need a vaccine. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm for you. Have it before yourself, or have it to yourself before God. Don't you love the word of God? Keep it to yourself. You know, it says here, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves or in what he has done. Listen, Jesus Christ is our Lord, and he is our only example. Unless he is not your Savior, then no, he's not your example. Look at Romans 15:1 with me. So then we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. Watch this. And not to please ourselves. Now we're talking about Christians, loved one. Let each of us, one more time, each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. In other words, building each other up, never tearing each other down. Why? For even Christ our Lord, look at it, did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be what? Like-minded. Did you get that word? Like-minded toward whom? Toward one another. How? According to Christ Jesus, that you may be of one mind and one mouth, glorify the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome. Therefore, receive one another how? Just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Ephesians 4:32, what a great scripture. It says this, it says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Look at chapter 12, verse 10 of Romans. Many scriptures, but I want you to hear them all. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another. And how? It says with brotherly love. In other words, we're one family, amen? We belong to each other. And it says in honor, giving preference to one another. That word honor means that each of us should be treating each other like treasure, because in God's eyes, we are his treasure, amen? Now go down to Romans, or go up to Romans 13:8 with me. Owe no one anything, Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, murder, steal, bear false witness, or covet. If there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in saying this, namely, you shall love, and look at the object, Christian, of your love. You shall love your what? Your neighbor. But look how you're to love him or her as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love, the word neighbor means the one who is near you right now. Love doesn't hurt people. Love doesn't harm people. Love, God's love, your love, listen to me, your love protects people, amen? Protects one. We're family. It says love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Galatians 5:14, let me read it to you. For all the law is fulfilled or brought to perfection in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. What a warning. when a believer who claims that Jesus Christ is their Lord, when they do not walk in love that they're commanded to walk in, they start living and doing the opposite. They can become mean. They can become cruel. They can take advantage of other Christians. They can lie to other Christians. They can become legalistic. Christian love means treating others the way God has treated us. We all know the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We are to treat others not how they've treated us or how we want others to treat us. No, we are to treat others the way that we want to be treated. Amen? Oh, listen, loved one. That right there tonight, you're going to be this church. Every believer who's part of this church, well, you know what? You're going to make a decision to apply that to your own lives, truly applied beginning tonight. Now, turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We know it well. It's the upper room, hours before Jesus goes to the cross. It's his last night. He's with the disciples that he's chosen. And look what the Son of God does in John 13, beginning in verse 1. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, he was a true Passover sacrifice. Amen? It says, had come, he should depart out of or from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, or he loved them to the uttermost. How did he do that? Well, he demonstrated something, loved one. He demonstrated the full extent of his love, verse 2, and during supper, and supper being ended, we know this scripture very well, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So the heart of Judas was already an open door for the devil. He had already gone to the chief priest and so forth. He betrayed our Lord not only with a kiss, but for 30 pieces of silver. Amen? We know that. It says, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Did you catch that? Knowing that God had already done something. All power, all authority, all dominion had already been placed in the hands of Jesus. The creator, the sustainer of all of the world, loved one, what did he do with all this authority over the entire world, the universe, the heavens? Look what he did. He rose from supper. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel and he girded himself. He took a towel. He took the lowest place. In other words, the exact opposite of being Lord. And after that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, wiped them with the towel which he was girded. And then Jesus came to Simon Peter and said, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, oh, what I'm doing to you, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to Jesus, oh, listen, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus said or answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. That's not talking about water baptism, loved one. Jesus said, if you don't allow this, you cannot partner with me. You have no part in my work. And look what Peter said. Oh, Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, oh, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. In other words, wash me all over. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean. And loved one, tonight we are clean because of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments, Jesus sat down again and he said to them, and he's saying the same thing to us tonight. Do you know or do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand the meaning of my action that I did toward you just now? He says, you call me teacher. Or we could even back it up. We call Jesus teacher. We call Jesus Lord or master or owner. And you say, well, for so I am. Jesus is the I am. Amen? He says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, your owner, your master, he says, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Is Jesus, is this a new doctrine? Are we supposed to be washing each other's feet? No, that's not what Jesus isn't saying that at all, at all. Foot washing is neither commanded in Scripture nor in a new, or in a, as a church ordinance. Only baptism and the Lord's Supper is a church ordinance, loved one. So what is Jesus, what is he saying? Look at verse 15. For I have given you a what? An example. I have given you an object lesson on the way you must live your life. I've given you an object lesson on servanthood for every believer, that you should do as I have done unto you. And most assuredly, I say to you, a servant, a slave, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. The church today is in a dilemma. The church must return to its proper place, its rightful place. And may I say that in the midst of this pandemic, hopefully it's coming to a close soon. We do not know when. But you know what? This church, not, I don't know about any, this church has a decision that you have to make tonight. Not, and let us not be guilty, as many are today. Oh, they call Jesus Lord. They say, oh, you're my owner, you're my master. And but you know what? We're not following the Lord. You know, for a Christian not to follow his example, then it means the example that he just gave us, a humility. If Jesus can do that, but we don't do that, we got a problem, amen? And that's exactly right. Jesus said in what, Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do? Jesus said in verse 17, if you know these things, oh, blessed, oh, how happy are you if you do them. In other words, knowing doesn't bring that happiness. It is doing them that brings that happiness. Now, and being obedient, being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Isn't that, you know, why is the word servants, it seems in the 21st century church, such a bad word? Jesus raised, elevated the word servant to the highest place. Amen? And oh, we should have a joy to serve the Lord. True greatness is not only being like Jesus, it's serving Jesus. Look at verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately, meaning through the cross and the death or burial, resurrection, the ascension, and so forth. Little children, I shall be with you just a little while. And you'll seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. In other words, I'm taking a path, and I have to take this path, meaning the path to the cross. I have to do that all alone. You cannot do that. And now Jesus does something. And I know you know this scripture because it's one of the three foundational scriptures of this church. But it is so vital that we, you that are listening live tonight, you listen to this incredible verse. Jesus said, so now that I'm going back to the Father, but first by the way of the cross and to the burial and then the resurrection and the ascension, now I say unto you, he says, a new what? A commandment, a brand new commandment that had never been given before. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As you've heard me teach that so often. Listen, they knew about loving one another, didn't they? Of course they did. They were Jews. They knew the great commandment to love the Lord thy God, all the strength, blah, 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 and your neighbor is yourself. They knew that, didn't they? They knew Leviticus, what, 19:18, that they would love others as their self, their neighbor as their self. They knew all of those things. But Jesus said, no, wait a minute. This is in contrast with the old. This is brand new. This is a brand new commandment. And this command to love one another, did you know, is not recorded in the Bible until you come to this verse right here. In John 15, 17, Jesus said, "These things I command you." It's a command. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. "That ye love one another." And you who have heard me teach this so many times over the years, why did Jesus have to command that to us? Because he knew that men, that women, that his followers, you know, it's so easy to say, "I love you." Do you understand? But not practice it. It's so easy to treat agape as a noun instead of a verb. See, it is a verb. It's something that must always be demonstrated. So we don't talk about love. Jesus didn't talk about love. He proved his love. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated or proved his own love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So what is the new part? We are to love each other to the same degree that Jesus has loved us. And don't say we can't. We have been empowered to do so. Amen? Romans 5:5, "And this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us." And look what this love does, verse 35. It says, "By this all," everyone in the world, the fallen world, "by this all will know that you are" what? And we could also say, "And they will know that you're my disciples, and they will also know that you're not my disciples, if you have love one for another." It says, "By this all will know," not because you attend Calvary Chapel, not because you have church membership, none of those things, love. And that's not what this is talking about. Not because you believe the Bible backwards and forwards, you believe that it's infallible and the inerrant truth and God's word is unchangeable, all of those things. That's, you know, or you believe there's no other name and you're right and there's no other way but Jesus and you're right. That's not what this is talking about. The proof, the true final test of belonging to Jesus, of really being his disciple, is when we love one another to the same degree Jesus loves us. By now, you are probably saying, "Bill, all I want to know is what you're going to say about the mask. Do we wear masks? Is something changing? I mean, give me a break, Bill. Governor Abbott, he has proclaimed me free." I want you to listen to me because I love you. Tonight, those that are listening live, listen to me. Those that will listen later on Facebook or whenever you have that opportunity, tonight things change. Tonight, I'm transferring the responsibility of each other to you. To you. I'm not responsible any longer. I'm transferring it all right over to you. It's no longer going to be on my shoulders. It's no longer going to be a time of a burden of ongoing prayer like it has been this entire year. It's not going to, no more. See, you tonight, all of you, the whole church, whoever belongs to Calvary, you will either obey the Lord or you're going to obey yourself. You will either love one another as Jesus commanded you to do, or you will just love yourself. So, what's going to happen? There's only one rule, and there's always really only been one rule at Calvary Chapel. And there's only one rule tonight concerning social distancing and putting on a mask, and that is the rule of love. And what does love do? Love, well, listen to me. Love means that you care for your brother and your sister. You do. You it's not nonchalantly walking in here after you've been out there all week without wearing a mask and going to this restaurant or that restaurant or don't care and saying, "I don't need to wear a mask," or whatever it might be. No, listen. Everything that I have done, everything that the board has approved in this church for the last 12 months, long 12 months, concerning COVID, was done for one reason. Because they knew, and whether you know it or not, I love you. And I didn't want to bury one person. And for 7 months, we didn't have one case in this church to my knowledge. And you know what? Here we are, like I had a talk with the board today. I said, it has been a long, long year. And you know what? They don't understand, the church, I don't think you do, that we have been called on to make decisions in the midst of something and something that we have never been in before. Do you understand that? Never been in before. And I could pull out that from this year of emails. And I always respond back to a radio listener or those in other states that listen on radio program or even some from other countries. You know, and then from the own congregation here, how easy it is for you to know what to do until you're called upon to make a decision. Oh, not for your family, but for others, for all the church. Did you know COVID is a life or death thing, or it can be? Did you know that? Oh, loved one, listen. But now there's a transfer. It's up to you now. It's going to be up to you, not me any longer. So what I say right now, don't misunderstand me. Everything I tell you from the bottom of my heart with love. And, you know, and I'm not speaking to the majority of Calvary, but I am speaking to the minority at Calvary. And here's what I want to say. Again, I'm going to say it because I want to say it. I need to say it, but I'm going to tell you in love. Listen carefully. All those emails that I've gotten, or phone calls, or challenging my faith, or saying I'm weak, and all the rest of it, which I'm not. Loved one, listen, I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care what any person believes about a mask. It doesn't work. It works. I don't care. I don't care what a person believes about the vaccines. Do you understand me? I don't care. I care what God cares about, but I don't care about those things. I don't care if you feel, I love you, but I don't care if you feel, Bill has forced me to wear a face mask. I don't care if you feel that you're fighting for some kind of American liberty. Oh God, listen, if it only takes wearing a mask for 45 minutes, to keep you out of church, then what's coming against the church in the near future, you will not return. You will hide in your homes. I don't care. All of those are listening, and this will go right on the radio, praise the Lord. I don't care for those who say COVID is just a joke, it's a farce, it's not real. It is real to me. I know what's 22 days in the bed, not even know if I was going to live or die. Listen, and even tonight, as I stand before you, I am still suffering. I say that not, I don't need any pat or oh, Bill, that I don't, it's not about playing the violin here. Are you with me? I go to bed tired, and I wake up tired. When I was preaching in Calvary, Houston, I couldn't remember Matthew 6:33. I couldn't remember my text. I knew what it said, but I couldn't remember where it was in the Bible. I sat there ashamed. Not only that, for the last 4 months, my entire body is breaking out with blisters all over. You can't sleep at night, and it's all from COVID. As I sat there with a Calvary pastor this weekend, he said, Bill, I got sick about the same time you did. I was in bed just like you. I missed a whole month at church. And he said, now my heart, it's infected my heart. And I'll be standing in the pulpit or I'll be at home. And my heart starts racing and I can't stop it. And I think I'm getting ready to die. You see, COVID, loved one, is real. And I know that it affects those who've had it. Thank God some of the cases are so mild, it was like, I can't, it was nothing. But see, it's not that way for everybody. You know, one of the kindest emails that I got was, oh, Bill, I work at JPS and at the hospital. I work down there, and you know, when COVID hit, it says, you know, the first floor was all COVID, but then it was the next floor. then it was the next floor. And then it was the next floor. Then it was five floors. And then we had refrigerator trucks. And then they were, I was watching them carry bodies out every day. It affects everyone differently, loved one. So here is what I believe. And here is what I practice. And that is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And for love does no harm. Love protects. Does that make sense? You need to protect one another. Does that make sense? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. So what are we doing, Bill? Okay, here it is. There is only one rule, and that's the rule of love. You're responsible beginning tonight, as you should have already been. I transfer all that to you. You are to take care of one another. You're to watch out one for another. You're to protect one another. You're to keep the mask on, and I'll explain some of the things. Are you with me? Are you with me? You have a responsibility before God, and I have a responsibility before God, but we should all be sharing that responsibility no matter what you think about masks or vaccines or whether you're wearing a mask or not. Does that make sense? Love, boy, is unconditional. Okay, you know what? Hey, my name is Bill. Hey, good to meet you, man. I don't wear a mask. I believe it's the Antichrist and so forth, but praise the Lord, I love you, and I'm not going to scare you. Do you understand? I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to have my mask off and jump in your face. I was down at Calvary Houston. I had 500 men. They were no mask at all except one old man, me. No. One old man. There, and you know those, you know how it is. They come hug on you. They spit it in your face. I'm going, oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. No. But see, I've had it, and I also have had the vaccine, and I'd take that vaccine again if I had to, because I never want anyone to have what I had or transfer to anyone who's maybe they're in this service, and they're weak in their immune system, do you understand, or they're highly susceptible. I mean, there's many of you, even my own son is one of them. Pneumonia nearly killed him. He nearly died. He's had it twice. Oh, how we need to take care of each other. Does that make sense? How we need to be responsible. So you say, oh, Bill, then what are we going to do? All right, here it is. Many of you are going to get what you want, and many of you are not going to get what you want. And here's the deal. The first and second service, are you ready? Mask, you're going to sit over here. Those who don't want to wear a mask, you can sit right over there. Both services. There's not going to be any social distancing in the seats now. If you'll notice, the seats are farther apart. Those little orange, whatever they're called, they're going to be taken out. Mask on this side, no mask on that side. Social distancing, the rows ends now. This is on your shoulders now. You bear the responsibility to love each other, protect one another, and do whatever is necessary to do that until this pandemic is over. That's what love does. I, even though I'm vaccinated, even though I've had COVID, I will be wearing a mask in every service until there is no need for me to wear that. Does that make sense? Because I love you. I never want, God forbid that I could ever be responsible for giving you something like that. That would break my heart in two. So here's the deal. If you want to enter this church beginning on Sunday, you have to enter. Every person has to enter wearing a mask. Once you are seated, mask on this side, no mask on this side. Once you're seated, you can now remove this side. You can remove your mask. Shouldn't bother you because you don't practice social distancing anyway. You don't feel uncomfortable not wearing a mask. Or maybe you don't believe in any of it. That way, there it is. You have what you want. This side wants to be protected, okay? Now, With all that being said, only when you are seated and the service begins this side, you can remove your mask. When the service ends, you have to put that mask back on. Mask must be worn anywhere inside the church proper. In all the buildings, wherever you go, a mask is always required. Greeters out there, you are required to put a mask on as well as people come in. That's the ushers as well. Now, if you're one who says, I can't stand my mask, I hate it, then you sit over here and take your mask off, greeters. If you want prayer beginning this Sunday, we're no longer praying in the seat for you. You will put your mask on, you will come to the altar, and there will be the pastors or the elders or whatnot, and they will have their mask on, and they will pray for you. Now, those who wear their mask, and you feel a little squeamish about those over here that are not wearing a mask, if you feel uncomfortable, you may go into the cafe, and the cafe will be reserved only for those who are wearing masks. Now, as always, everything I just said is subject to change. Amen? Because we don't know how this is going to work. But this is where we're going. But again, listen to me now. Today, you're responsible. You're responsible. If you're not wearing a mask, don't come up to somebody that's wearing a mask and get in their face. Are you with me? Okay, come on, God. Bill, you're being hard. No, I love you. This is your time. This is your time to step up now, because it's on your shoulders. You are your brother's keeper. Do you understand? That's why I'm not going to lay down any more laws. And I only did what was best. The board did what was best. We followed the CDC guidelines to protect. It was sad when I learned how people would come in and they didn't get their temperature, but they were sick and they caused others to get sick. Isn't that a tragedy? COVID can kill, or COVID can leave damage. I have one more month. It'll be 6 months. And they say after 6 months, most of the stuff is gone. Well, I want it to be gone. Do you understand? You know, for the first time, listen to me now. You know that I'm a 3:30 a.m. guy. That's me. I go to sleep. I'm talking to the Lord. I go into my quiet time. I can't even get out of bed, loved one, now. I mean, if I get out of bed by 7 o'clock, it is a miracle. That's never happened in my life. Do you understand? When I went to Calvary Houston to speak, I set my phone alarm and the alarm in the hotel because I was afraid that I wouldn't wake up. Isn't that horrible? What a sissy. Now, it's transferred, and I've done my job. Father, your will be done now. It's in their laps. It's in their hands. It's in their hearts. They're to protect one another, not beat up one another. They're to treat each other as precious, like treasure, because we are all one family. So tonight, we love you. We praise you. I commit all of these plans to you, and I step away from them now in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says,